Would you join me as we pray together? Father, we thank you for what you are doing in each one of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that even tonight you see the end from the beginning from the end. And Lord, you are working your purposes in our lives. Lord, this life that you've given us is such an amazing journey, such a privilege for us tonight to be alive, to have breath in our lungs, to have the ability to serve you. And Lord, as we turn to your word now, we just pray that you would really come and speak to us, Lord. Lord, if you don't speak to us, Lord, this will just be human wisdom. This will just be a man speaking. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would breathe into our hearts the truth of the word of God. Because, Lord, we long to be more like you and to be changed, to not live wasted lives. Lord, help us to live with the end in mind, we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of the TV show that was called Honey, We're Killing the Kids. And it was about bad parents. It was about very obese kids. And these families would go on this reality show. And then special computer software was used to age the children so that the parents could see that the way that they were feeding their kids, the way that they were parenting them, something of the reality as they aged, what they would look like at age 40. And so the parents would stand there and they'd get the shock looked on their face as their child began to be aged towards 40. Husbands would hold their wives, shield them from the image, and then tears would begin to roll down their cheeks as they saw the reality of where their habits were headed. Now I remember one particular episode. There was this very obese 4-year-old boy, and he weighed 70 kilograms. 4 years old, 70 kilograms. And the mother thought that he looked so cute, so cuddly. And she wasn't really aware of just how much she was feeding him and the junk that she was pouring into his life. This poor little 4-year-old boy battled to support himself on his legs. The footage that they showed, the little inset shots of him at home, he could barely roll off the bed and actually get down onto his legs and take steps. And when the software began to age him into the future, the mother went very, very quiet. And I wondered to myself, as she was silenced, would that picture from the future be enough to really arrest her soul? Would that picture be enough to actually change the way that she was behaving? And if I'm honest, probably not. But what about you tonight? As you sit here in Rosebank Union Church, if we could up on the screen tonight show a video of you 20 years from now, 40 years from now, 60 years from now, how would that affect how you leave this place tonight? How would that affect how you go out and live? And maybe if I'm honest, maybe it would make little difference to your life unless God is doing a work in your life to say, Lord, I don't want to end up there. Lord, I want to end up somewhere different from where I'm going to end up because of tonight. And that's what the preacher Ecclesiastes is going to do for us tonight. As we come to our second last message, can you believe it? You've made it all the way here. Trust you've been living off your antidepressants because it's been some deep waters. And we've been in this series, Chasing Wind, running around after all sorts of things. And next week we come to tie this all together. And so turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, because in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon wants to show you a video. He wants to play for you a video of what you're going to look like in the future. And he hopes that that picture will sober you right now here tonight in the present. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think it's page 602 in the Old Testament. And encourage you to have it open. Just follow along. We're going to track our way through. And I think it's going to help you to concentrate. It's going to be wonderful as we just track our way through. And we watch this video frame by frame. So here's verse 1 of chapter 12. He's almost at the close of his book. This amazing book of wisdom. And he's going to challenge us here. Look what he says. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator while you're still young. Now, what does he mean by this word remember? He's not using this word remember like your teacher back at school used to use it. Okay, grade fours, I want you to remember your times tables. I want you to memorize them. I want you to just store them away there. 7 times 7 is what? It's 48. And then you failed. No, it's 49. And the teacher keeps drumming that into 7 times 7 is 49. 7 times 7 is 49. That's not what Solomon's saying here is the word remember. Remember means more than just not forgetting. It's more than just an intellectual kind of, hey, I've got to remember this. Got to remember this. No, this is a remembering that allows the reality of who God is to saturate your soul, to influence the way you think, the way you speak, the way you live tomorrow. It's thinking about God and remembering Him so that it moves you to action, that it actually begins to transform your daily behavior. It's kind of like remembering that you were supposed to fetch your kids at school. That's what the word means. And it's only ever happened to me once, and that was enough. Dad was punished for weeks on end, so I'm a very proud parent to say I've only forgotten my girls at school once. Now that's what remembering means. It's not like, oh, pretty cool. I remembered my kids at school. My memory still works. It's like phone diesel. Hi, Liesl. You told me last week I was forgetting a lot of stuff, but my memory is actually working. I remember that the kids are standing outside of school. I'm just so encouraged that God's given me this brain that works. No. That kind of remembering hurls you into the car. It gets you to throw down whatever little pleasures you were busy with in life, and it drives you straight to that school, and then weeks of comforting and hot chocolate and early mornings and whatever they want to do. That's what it means to remember. It means to give up your immediate pleasures, to allow the presence of God, in a sense, to hurl you out of the door of life where you've been sitting around wallowing in self-pity, and giving up all the things that you looked for to bring you pleasure and fulfillment, and instead saying, Lord, you alone can bring me pleasure and fulfillment. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth is a challenge. It's a challenge to drive towards God. It's a challenge to say, perhaps I've left the Lord outside the gates of the school of life, and I need to race there and say, Lord, I want you to be part of my life. I want to give up my self-reliant plans, Lord, and I want to trust you, and I want to cling to you. I want to run to you. Now, you might be here tonight and say, well, I wasted my time coming tonight. I mean, the service time changed to 6 o'clock. So for those of you that came 6:30, just to remind you, 6 o'clock. And you say, I came here, and now this message is only for young people. I mean, isn't that what Solomon's saying? But I'd say to you that often the word youth and young people in the Bible is used loosely. When the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and says, hey, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. A lot of commentators say Timothy could have been in his 30s or even his early 40s, which is just wonderful because being someone in my early 40s means I'm still young. Great. And I think age is often very relative. So I remember going to an old age home and there was an 89-year-old man. And he was telling me about that old man over there. He was saying, oh, you know, that old guy really irritates me. And that old guy was 95. He's an 89-year-old saying, that old guy, meaning 95. And I realized age is relative, especially if you've got relatives who are in old age. But that was a very weak joke. But this message applies to you at whatever stage of life you're at, whatever age you're at. Because tonight, believe it or not, you're younger than you'll be tomorrow. That's an amazing thought. There's a lot of profound little spin-offs here that you should be jotting down and taking into your week. You have more health today than you will tomorrow. And the younger you are tonight, the more this message applies to you because you have a greater potential lying ahead of you. And so Solomon urges you tonight, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before. Before what? Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. God always speaks to us in the present. He always calls to us in the now. He says, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. While it is still called today, turn to Him tonight. Come to Him. Call out. Plead with Him, saying, Lord, come and work in my life. Change me. Why? Because a time is coming which is going to bring each one of you immense trouble, immense pain, because you're going to grow old. You're going to grow tired. You're going to grow weary. And I think that video we watched earlier is just a small picture of that. And when that day comes, it's going to be harder to remember God. And you might be here tonight and say, well, Justin, I've been in this series, but I still think I'm young. I just want to go out there. I want to live it up. I want to enjoy my freedoms. I mean, when I'm older, I'll get serious. Then I'll turn to God, and then I'll think about this kind of stuff. Well, Ecclesiastes wants to show you now a very, very sobering video. A video clip of your future tonight in the hopes that it will sober you. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. And then verse 2, another before. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. A day is coming when the lights will grow dark. Life is going to enter into a new season, and it's going to be a season of growing darkness. Everything growing dim. One of the first things that begins to grow dim is your memory. And isn't it interesting? He says, remember your Creator. Why? Because your memory is going to grow dim. I remember my gran on my dad's side being invited to hear me preach for the very first time in Cape Town. I was really, really excited. She got up early that morning, got dressed in her Sunday best. I remember my folks drove to her house. I went in my car to the church where I was preaching. They picked her up. And being a new preacher, I thought I preached the most brilliant sermon. And at the end of the sermon, as I walked towards Gran there, I could just see her body language. She was annoyed. She was irritable. She was even angry. And as I got near, I heard her shout at my dad, I thought you told me Justin was going to be preaching today. And I suddenly realized she didn't even recognize me. I mean, do you know how hard that hits you? I mean, besides the fact it was a good sermon, my own gran doesn't recognize her grandson anymore. It's probably because I dressed smarter. Maybe I had my preaching voice on. I have no idea. But her mind was beginning to go. Remember your Creator before the light grows dim. I recall having dinner with a couple, and the husband's mind was being dimmed by Alzheimer's. And when we arrived, he was watching the rugby, and so I asked him a bit about the game and the score and some things about who was playing, and he just made everything up. Like, he was just focused on the TV, but he knew that it was rugby, but he didn't know any more details than that. And then when we got to the table, he said, could he say grace? And he said the most moving, wonderful prayer of thanks. And as our host, as she, the wife, put the plates down, I was about to just dish up, and he stood up and said, right, well, let me clear the plates away for you. And he took my plate, and she said, Dennis, sit down. We haven't eaten yet. And then he said, oh, okay, well, do you mind if I pray and say grace? So he said grace again. And every time there was a lull in the conversation or a course changed, even before dessert, he would say grace. And every opportunity, just as it went quiet, he'd stand up and say, well, let me clear the table. And she'd say, Dennis, we still have to have dessert. Dennis, we still have to, he has to finish eating. I remember that night thinking, I hope that one day when my mind fails me, that I'll still have the heart to pray such beautiful prayers, that I'll still have a heart of a track record of wanting to love my wife. So I better start cleaning up the plates now. Thank you. But it's not just memories that grow dark. It's an entire season of gray. Look at the next part of verse 2. And the clouds return after the rain. That's what Ecclesiastes says. There's a season coming when the cloudy fog and the cold of winter set in. When the clouds just keep returning after the rain. And you'll long for the sun to come out tomorrow. But no sooner do the clouds finish raining on you. And it says, as those clouds clear, there's not even a clearing because there's more clouds behind them. You just feel this weight of impending, almost gloom and doom. Just as one burst of rain falls on you, so something else happens. And with fondness, you'll think back to the days of summer when you used to swim in the streams and you used to skip in the streets. But now the lights are going out one by one. And a season is coming when you'll be attending more funerals than 21st parties. Why the word fun was ever put in funeral is absolutely beyond me. There's nothing fun about funerals. Derek Kidner, a great commentator, says on this verse, there is the chill of winter in the air of verse 2. As the rains persist and the clouds turn daylight into gloom and then night into pitch blackness, it's a scene somber enough to bring home to us not only the fading of physical and mental powers, but the more general desolations of old age. There are many lights that are liable to be withdrawn, besides those of the senses and faculties. as one by one old friends are taken, familiar customs change, and long-held hopes now have to be abandoned. All this will come at a stage when there's no longer the resilience of youth or the prospect of recovery to offset it. In one's early years and for the greater part of life, troubles and illnesses are chiefly setbacks, not disasters. One expects the sky to clear eventually, but it's hard to adjust to the closing of that long chapter. To know that now in the final stretch there will be no improvement, the clouds will always gather again, and time will no longer heal, but kill. It's hugely sobering tonight. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Well, now let's look from verse 3. From verse 3, the image changes now from bad seasons to that of a house that is declining. Your body is a house that is slowly falling apart. Now, I know Ryan doesn't think that, but I think you guys just keep pressing him year after year after year, and eventually we'll beat him at something. It's going to fall apart, Ryan. That mansion that used to entertain, that mansion of yours that used to be the cover picture, top billing, stylish beauty, is now dilapidated. And the slow decay of aging, I think, is sometimes worse than the sudden demise that's brought on by death. Especially when you're the one that has to live in that body. A body peeling from the cracked paint of wrinkles, creaking from the rusty hinges of joints that won't swing freely, and now the overgrown bushes of nose hair. The hands and arms that once found it easy to do heavy lifting now begin to shake. Look at verse 3. When the keepers of the house tremble, they can barely carry the groceries anymore. It was an easy journey for you before, is no longer easy. The mug of soup now shakes. It's almost like a volcano that's about to erupt and burn you. And so as you begin to write to your family to tell them about the wonderful mug of soup that you tasted, the new flavor, so your writing begins to deteriorate and looks like a seismic monitor. And then Ecclesiastes says, the strong men stoop. The two towers made of legs that have supported your body your whole life start to buckle under the weight of time. And with each visit to the doctor, you're horrified to be told that you're getting shorter. Doctor, there must be some mistake. How can I be getting shorter? I think somebody's playing a prank on me. You must have moved that measuring tape on your wall. You must have adjusted. Come on, doctor, you're pulling my leg. The doctor says, no, I'm not pulling your leg. Haven't you noticed? You're beginning to stoop more and more and more. And your legs have become unstable and wobbly. Well, maybe the dentist will have better news. But here comes the news. Your grinders are few. See it there? The next part of the verse? Ecclesiastes says, when the grinders cease, because they are few. At every meal, you realize you have more food in your mouth than you have teeth to chew. And it requires the concentration of a Dave Gertzen engineer to be able to line up the teeth at the top with the teeth on the bottom. And you think to yourself, should someone my age really be chewing this much gum? And then the verse goes on and says, those looking through the windows grow dim. The ophthalmologist also has some blinding news. The windows of your house are glazed over. The light is no longer penetrating. The glass is cracked and faded by the years. The sun is setting and now the night is creeping up on your soul. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Verse 4, when the doors to the street are closed. A day of trouble is coming when the doors to the street are now shut. When you no longer have the freedom to just go in and come home, go out whenever you like. In your younger days, you thought nothing of just getting out, phoning a friend and hitting the streets. But now the doors are locked. You're a prisoner in your own home. And then Solomon tells us, and the sound of grinding fades. Your hearing now locks you away from the outside world. And those noisy tasks that you heard out in the street day after day after day, they start to go dim, and you start to think, is there anybody out in the world on the street working or driving anymore? The world has grown silent. And the only thing you can now hear is the gnawing thought of fears, of guilt, and at times even self-pity. Ecclesiastes is not finished with our video. He says, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. The sleep that you enjoyed in your youth, being able to sleep until midday, it now eludes you in this latter season. You're awake as soon as the birds are. You battle to fall asleep at night, and as soon as the birds are up, you're up. And you're kept awake by the birds of fear and the birds of worry. The smallest little bird keeps you up in your mind. And now even the sweet songs of the birds grow faint. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. And the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. In verse 5, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. Even the street has become a dangerous place. Just the smallest uneven paving stone. Just the slightest of inclines. Just the cliff edge of the pavement. Even the smallest obstacles in the street are a Mount Everest that could take your life. I think of my gran who passed away 4 years ago. Her greatest fear in the last 2 years was the fear of falling. And eventually the fear of falling chained her to her bed. Every second night she was tormented by nightmares that she was falling. It consumed her. And twice she got a urinary tract infection, which means if you're elderly that often with a urinary tract infection goes hallucinations. And she would be wide awake. We would be sitting there. She'd be talking. But she would have this incredible fear that she was falling. And sometimes we'd have to lift her up and drop her back against the pillow just to remind her. And we called her Gaga. Just say, Gaga, you see, you're not standing up. You're back. And she would have this panic on her face. She felt as though her bed was standing up. And she was like this leaning forward and this teetering on the brink. This wasn't somebody weird. This wasn't some old, gray, strange species of a human being. This was my gran. My gran who used to run. My gran who used to skip. Used to play with her dolls in the garden. This was my gran who learned to do ballroom dancing. Who could play piano from memory and in the most amazing ragtime syncopation that would have made Scott Joplin smile. She could jump from rock to rock on the beach. She would take me on the train from Pineland Station in Cape Town right through to Cape Town City Centre. And she would hop and skip down Adderley Street. And she would take the journey down underground into the Golden Acre Shopping Centre. And she would glide up endless flights of escalators in the most amazing department stores, all the while steadying her little grandson called Justin. But that was all before the days of trouble came, before she grew old. My friends, this old lady I have described is not some strange foreign person about to trip on an uneven slab of cement on the pavement. She is you. This is your video. And that irritable teen who's walking behind you, giggling and making grins and going, and trying to get past, that annoying teen is you. That is you yesterday. And you think it's her that's falling. It's you that's fallen. It's you that has fallen through time and has reached here in the matter of a day. That is you, the teen, and you've grown old. It's you that is teetering on the edge of life's gutter. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, before the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. But the video continues. Solomon says, when the almond tree blossoms, there is a day when the head of your almond tree will blossom in shades of white and gray. And I'm beginning to bloom, so maybe I'm in my prime in a different kind of way. And I see that season changing when I go on Facebook and someone finally changes that profile picture after a decade and you say, you've changed. I can see it, that old school friend. Some of you here tonight hide those almond blossoms pretty well and the colors of your choice. You're the lucky ones that still have blossoms that haven't been blown away by the autumn winds. So thank and praise God. But then Solomon says, and the grasshopper drags himself along. Think of a grasshopper. In its youth, you can barely contain it. You just go to get it and he's gone. And he's jumping from one little green blade of pleasure to the next. Where can I feast? What? Oh, this is, oh, that's one. And what a tragedy the next season to see this old, limp grasshopper dragging its feeble frame along. I was at a family get-together with old friends a few weeks ago, and Liesl's folks in their late 70s were up from Cape Town, and we got together with some old friends of theirs, and there was this girl's mother who was in her 80s, hadn't seen Liesl's mom for 30 years. And so it was a great reunion, and just to watch them chatting, and I think sometimes deafness set in, and they were just chatting about whatever the other one couldn't hear. But she said something quite profound to Liesl's mom, and I overheard it, and I took out my phone and actually jotted it down, because I thought this is worth keeping. This is what she said as she spoke to Liesl's mom. She said, I look in the mirror every day, and I don't recognize who this is looking back at me. I feel like it's me on the inside, but people get a shock by the outside. We think about it. She sees a young lady's eyes inside. I don't know what that is, but somebody can switch the tap off if that's what's running. She sees a young lady's eyes looking back at her in the mirror, but you and I, we see a grasshopper that's dragging a Zimmer frame. And then Ecclesiastes says, and desire is no longer stirred. We saw it in that video earlier. You might be interested to know that the Hebrew word for desire there in the passage is the Hebrew word for caper berry. It's a kind of berry. The caper berry was a berry in those days used to stimulate appetite, and it was taken as an aphrodisiac. And Solomon's honest to say that even eventually the caper berry fails in its effects. Eventually, even sexual desire is no longer stirred. And so as we come to almost the end of this video, Solomon says, thanks, Ryan. Then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Verse 6, remember him. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. These are sobering words. I can't tell you how much I've been challenged this week. There was a point of this week where I was moved to tears just to say, Lord, what am I even doing with my life, Lord? I could be living for you more even now. Because your human life is an amazing masterpiece. God has given you breath in your lungs. This is an amazing gift. And this masterpiece, this artistic painting, is held by such a feeble and fragile little frame. That's what this verse is saying. That frame can be shattered in a moment. It can be broken in an instant. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is severed. That's the silver, beautiful cord that holds this golden lamp. A picture of your life, this golden lamp. And it says there, just one link in the silver chain needs to break. That's all it takes for this silver chain to snap and this golden bowl of light to go crashing on the floor, and that light that was your life is broken and over. All it takes is that wheel at the well, where you've gone day after day after day, that wheel at the well to break, and as you were pulling up your pitcher of water, so that pitcher has dropped down that well and it is shattered, and that life-giving water that would have brought you hope and life has now spent itself on this hollow, empty hole. Blaise Pascal says, man is but a reed. It's not necessary that the entire universe arm itself to crush him. A breath of air, a drop of water suffices to kill him. Friend, no matter how young you are tonight, your life is fragile. Because verse 7 says, And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And Solomon then says in verse 8, the end of our section tonight, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. He's saying to you tonight that you have been hurtling towards the end since the beginning. No sooner have you been formed from dust, and then that dust begins to break down. No sooner are you given life, and that life begins to die. Every hello is the start of a goodbye. And every time someone you absolutely love dearly arrives at the airport and you go and meet them, that arrival is the start of the departure. We come from dust, and to dust we must return, and our spirits go back to God because we're accountable to Him. And so tonight, if you've never lived for God in this life, if you're messing around with sin, if you think you've got all the time in the world, if you've never remembered Him, then you, like Ecclesiastes, will also cry out at the end, meaningless, meaningless. You're going to say, nothing under the sun lost, not even my own body that I've shaped and fed and honed day after day after day. Not even my body is mine to keep. Nothing is mine to keep. I've spent everything I own on dust. I've spent my life, my time, my work, my career, my sex life, my money. Everything I have spent on dust. Meaningless. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Maybe that's why this passage is prefaced in verse 6 of chapter 11. And let's read these verses. And let this give you hope and action in the present. Chapter 11, just the chapter back, verses 6. Solomon says before the video, before this is played out, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, whether both will do equally well. Chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet. That's the opposite. And it pleases the eyes to see the sun. You can still see the sun tonight. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Why? Because if you're living apart from God. Verse 9, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart. Cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Unless what? Unless, verse 1, you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Well, as we close, why remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Why in your youth? One, because I think the end seems so far away. But I want to say to you tonight, just because the end seems far away, it's not, it's an illusion. Talk to the people across the road at Rose Haven and ask them how quickly life went. Don't coast along, don't take it easy now. Don't say, it doesn't matter, I've still got tomorrow. You are nowhere promised tomorrow in the Scriptures. Turn to God before it's too late. Why remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Because the investment you make now will bear greater fruit. If you have 5 rand now and you're able to invest it for 50 years, you'll get a greater return. The legacy that your life can leave. The eternity that you can build up, storing treasures for yourself in heaven. Other people that can follow you on that road to God's glory. The investment, you have a longer time. So make that longer time count. And the decisions you make now in your youth, guys, I want to tell you, they are the decisions that will set and affect the entire trajectory of your life. Sit where I sit with people in their 50s and 60s saying, Justin, how do I click undo? And I sit there and sometimes I say secretly to myself, I'm not sure we can click undo. But I have to bring hope. I have to bring perspective. But if only they had listened when they were younger. Why remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Because 3, it will get harder the longer you wait. You're going to become hardened in your sin. Your desires will wane, as we've looked at. Your memory will go. You might not know who you are or where you are. So how are you going to know how to find God when you end up there? You could end up marinating in guilt. Oh, what could have been? If only had, what should have been? You could wallow in self-pity. Why did I have such a hard life? Why did I have a stroke? Why did I have... And you might say, this is all vain and meaningless. And you could be gripped by fear. Fears of the past, fears in the present, fears about the world, fears for your grandchildren, fears of your approaching death. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because friends, tonight, in the sober, sober, holy moment, there will come a last time for everything. Your last holiday, your last trip to the Kruger Park, your last swim in the ocean, the last time to mow the lawn, the last time to go to the mall, the last time to Delta Park, the last Christmas family lunch, the last drink you'll ever take, the last meal you'll ever taste, and the last breath will go out of your lungs. Have you remembered your Creator? The psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days aright. Some of you are actuaries, some of you are financial advisors, some of you tomorrow will go back to do maths at school and at university. You're able to extrapolate figures with your actuarial knowledge. You're able to look at scenarios and life cover. But you've never once counted that your days aright and said, Lord, here is my life. What am I doing with it? Do you want to waste the best years of your health and wait till the end, in a sense, to take the plate which has leftover scraps on and scrape that out of the bin and say, there, Lord, that's what's left. There will never be a right time. We live in a fallen world. You'll never be able to say, oh, now's the perfect time to serve God. Now's the perfect time. There will never be a perfect time. Do you want to wait till your retirement to serve Him? Are you hoping that things in your life will be better tomorrow or different tomorrow? Because then you can be all in and really serve God. Friends, as I close, I say to you, Jesus offered you His best. He offered His life to you in the godly prime of His life. He gave it all, and He gave it for you when He hung on that cross. He held nothing back. And we've played a video tonight of your future. You have life right in this moment. You have breath in your lungs in this time now. While your eyes can still see Christ hanging on the cross, while your ears can still hear His amazing call of grace, while your lips can still sing His praise, won't you come tonight and do business with God? Won't you turn to Him before it's too late? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. All because you waited too long to bow your heart to the greatest pleasure that was ever given. That pleasure was given on a cross by a man called Jesus, the source and fount of everlasting pleasure. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is a video that perhaps, like that young mother, we don't want to see. We want to blame the doctors, we want to blame everyone. We want to become angry when the talk show host says that we are the problem. Lord, I just pray that You would grip our hearts tonight, Lord, even as You've gripped my heart this week and reminded me that I'm a fool to think I have tomorrow. What am I putting off? Lord, I just pray that as we begin to build up to the final week next week of this book that You've given us, I pray, Lord, that we would be sobered tonight by that picture. Lord, that picture that Solomon paints for us, maybe it's a picture of even where he was at. I pray, Lord, that if there's any here tonight that are just living life loosely, casually, not taking things seriously for You, that, Lord, we would be sobered by this video, and then out of our relationship with You, You would give us a joy, an exuberance, an enjoyment of life. Lord, a true seeking after true pleasures that You've given us because we see them in the light of You. Lord, I pray that we would remember You tonight. And that, Lord, we'd even think of that thief on the cross who in those last dying moments, he gave You everything. And he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when You go into Your kingdom today. Lord, thank You that as we remember You, You have promised to remember us. Oh Lord, may your remembering of us be the very thing that changes and transforms our hearts tonight, Lord. May you come by your Spirit and do in us, Lord, what we would never be able to muster up on our own, because we pray this in your name. Amen.